take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Let's start reading in verse number 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gate, and for the joining, and the brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. And I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it were in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies around about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou shalt heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 100,000 talents of silver and of brass and of iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto." Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the great opportunity you give me again this morning, Lord, to preach the Word. And I trust, Father, you take it and use it to your glory. You promised it won't come back void. And I believe that, Father. I believe you send it for a purpose. And I just want to thank you for this privilege. And I pray for each of our hearts this morning that we'll open our hearts to the Word of God, to the will of God for our lives. Lord, anyone here this morning that's not saved, Father, it'd be a great time, wonderful time for them to be saved. Father, come to Christ, put their faith in the Son of God who loved us enough to come and die on a cross, was buried and rose again, that we might have eternal life. Once again, I thank you for all you're going to do. And Lord, we ask this in the precious, most wonderful, lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning, I'm taking from verse number 14, the last of it. It says, "And thou mayest add thereto." This morning is historic as far as I'm concerned. It's the last sermon I will preach as pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I stood in the auditorium the other day and looked around and done some reminiscing. I remember back when of course we started the church down in the little house and garage down in Midland. And then I remember in June, I think it was June the 6th, I was going to look that up, but I did not, but I think it was June the 6th, of 1976, we moved into this building. And I was looking out over it and thinking about all the services that's been held here since, thinking about all the souls that's been saved, thinking about the people who's come and has grown in the Lord, and just kind of reminiscing and looking and thinking back of the goodness of God. And thinking also, though, that it's not something that's finished. It's something that must continue. And it must be added to. And it's just, I was thinking about that. I thought 32 years old, this church is, it's in its infancy. It's not very old. And really, it's got a long way to go and a lot to do here in the Jasonville area. And so when I began to think about that and think about what God wanted me to preach, I believe I have the message He wants me to preach this morning, and I want to give it to you. I want God to take it and use it to His glory, change lives with it, encourage lives with it, and trust that the gospel will be given in such a way that if there are people here without Christ, that they would be saved. That's our desire. It's always been my desire. It's always what I've wanted to see, and I thank God for the great privilege He's given me. Three simple points this morning in our message. First of all, the house of the Lord must be built. Here, David was he was on his deathbed or getting ready to die. Knew that soon he would die, and he was not allowed to build the temple. But he understood and knew that the temple must be built. And so he handed it off to his son to do that. When I talk about this morning, let me say this ahead of time before anybody gets the wrong impression. I know I'm not David. And I know he's not Solomon. What we're going to do is we're going to look at some principles, though, that happened in David's life and in Solomon's life. That's what we're going to look at. We understand, and I believe there's some wonderful things here from the handing over of a pastorate to our son. To me, is a great, great privilege, and it's a great honor that God has given to me, and I look for with great anticipation with what God is going to do. I don't know all the future. I don't know those things, but I know it has a future until Jesus comes. And so I know that the good and wonderful things need to be done, need to be accomplished. And I believe they will be. I believe God's going to use this place as He has in the past, but I believe to even greater heights than He has before. And I'm looking forward to that and anxious and excited about what God is going to do. But the Lord, the house of the Lord must be built. You look at verse number 6. And he says, and he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. Look at verse number 10. He shall build a house for my name. Look at verse number 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. You see, God gave specific instructions on the building of the temple. He told them just exactly how to build the temple and gave them specific things that they was to do, but they had to build it according to His word and according to how He has established the temple to be built. And God used men. He used men like Solomon. He used men like David in preparation for this. But let me say to you, He used multitudes of people in the gathering of all of these things that was gathered. You cannot build a house, a work for God without people. People willing to work. It's impossibility to do that. One man cannot build a work of God. One man cannot continue the work of God. It takes people. We'll deal with that in just a little while. But let me say to you that the Lord's church also must be built. It absolutely must be. We must continue on. We must realize that this is the most important work there is. The work of God, the building of His church, that's the most important work there is. You've heard this preacher say this many times. It wasn't something new I've been saying. I've said it for years. The work of God is more important than me or you. The work of God is important. It must be done. And the church must be built. How does he do it? He does it the same way he built the temple. He did it with people. He did it. We talked in Sunday school this morning. You see, you've got to have prayer. You got to have the power of God, and you had to see the proclaiming of the word of God. It takes people to do that. And I'm saying to you today, the work of the Lord, the work of God here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church must be built. And we must also remember something, who it's built for. Look in verse number 6. As he said, and he called the Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. That's who it must be built for. The work of God here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church must be built for the Lord. It's Christ's church. It's his work. And he's the one that we're working for, and why we need to do it, and why we can't stop, and why we've got to go on no matter what happens. We've got to get the work of God done. Why? Because of who it's built for. He also tells us in here how it's to be built. Notice in verse number 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. Notice something. The work of God, the temple here, he said it must be exceedingly magnificent. I'm saying to you, the church must be exceedingly great. The church is not just something we just let establish and let it happen just as it wants to. It must be guarded. It must be directed. It must be helped and built the way God wants it to be built. That's why God put pastors in a church, to oversee the building of the church. And he put people here to submit to that and to help the pastor, as we'll deal with in a few moments, to work the work of God. You see, it's got to be built, and you've got to understand something. It's not just a house that you build. It's not a business that you build. This is the church. This is the work of God. He said it must be built in fame even. I believe something. I believe every church is known for what it is. Oh, I believe that. You know a little bit about a church, and you begin to pick up on what that church is. I believe the church at Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to be known wherever it's known to. It needs to be known as a place the work of God is done. It's where souls are being saved and people are being trained and to live the Christian life. You see, I believe we ought to have a fame about this church, that it ought to be known for those things. I believe also it ought to be known because it is not just some ordinary church. I've always said this. I don't want an ordinary church. I don't want to know what that's on every corner around this old country. Most of your churches around this old country is dead as a doornail. They have no life in them. I don't want a church like that. I want this church to be known that it's different. It's peculiar unto good works. You understand what I'm saying? It's doing the work of God. There's all kinds of churches out there. I've known in the last, well, I don't know how many months, but two places that is splitting. And I know for a fact, I know for a fact the situation. They're splitting and they're starting another church. But you know what they're starting? They're starting another church just like they came out of. We don't need another church like they came out of. We need a church that'll stand for the word of God. A lot of you don't realize this, but when we came out of Providence Baptist Church way back there many years ago, a lot of years ago, we came out of that church. What we decided was we was not going to just start another church. We wanted a church that would glorify God and be built upon the word of God. That's what we want. We just didn't want another church just to have another church. You don't need those. There's dozens of those around. You need a church that's not an ordinary church. It's a peculiar church. It's unto good works, and it's a powerful church. That's the kind of churches we need today, you see. And I'd love to see that kind of churches started, but many times they start and they come out of a church that don't have the power of God, and they start another one that don't have the power of God. That's not what is needed. And Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to be a different church, peculiar church unto good works. And it needs to be known for that. It needs to be known also because it's never satisfied. and complacent with what it is. You can't be complacent. Blessed Hope Baptist Church has not come to its end. It has not arrived. It needs to go on. And there's multitudes of things that we need to do better than we're doing now. You understand what? We can't be complacent. We're not everything we ought to be. We need to go on for the glory of God. And so the fame of that church, every church is known, believe me, for something. They have a reputation. They have something that people look to and say, that's the kind of church that is. Well, I want us to be a church that is a peculiar church unto good works. I want us to be a church that is different. Also, he says in that the temple not only must be of great fame, it must also be of glory. Let me say to you, Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to be a church that glorifies God. That we always, always point everybody to Jesus Christ, that he is lifted up, always honored. Amen? We need to remember that the glory goes to the Lord, not to man, but to the Lord. Now, man is used, and thank God for it, and thank God for those that's going to help you and lead you. But the glory don't go to man. Glory goes to God. Amen. Honor may go to man at time to time when it's necessary to do, but we don't lift up the men. There's churches all over this country, let me say to you, has established their work around a man, and he's the one that receives the glory. It's God that must receive the glory. Jesus Christ must be the one that's lifted up. And we do that with words. Words are important. I'm saying that right now. I'm saying words, that we lift up Christ. We point everybody to Jesus Christ. But it takes more than that. It takes actions that back up those words. Our total life ought to be a life that glorifies God. You see, when you think about the standards we have around here and the things we preach and what we say and all those things. Folks, listen, we have standards. They're Bible standards. What's that for? To glorify God. We want to be different. Why? To glorify God. That's why we want to lift up his name, you see. And so not only words, it's got to go deeper than words. It's got to go in the action of our life and also the spirit of our service. Folks, it's so important today that we serve with the right spirit. We serve because we're serving the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ought to serve with a sweet spirit toward the Lord, willing to get the work of God done. Look what he says in verse 19. He says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessel of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." You notice he said, you build this, and he said, you bring the holy vessels and you bring the Ark of the Covenant in. That speaks of the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant showed forth the presence of God. Folks, this church must always remain a place where the presence of God is felt. Not just some feeling, but when you come in and you greet people, you know that God is here. And when Sunday school classes are taught and preaching is preached, that you know that God honors it because we're lifting up him and honoring him. Amen? Do you understand that? You see, that's what he says. And not only that, he said the holy vessels. I want you to know something. God that we serve is holy. He's a holy God. And it's not wrong for the preachers to stand up and ask you to live holy lives. Demand that you live holy lives. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? It's right because it's a holy God that we serve. Understand? Amen. So you see, he's telling us that churches ought to be known for its fame of what they are, what they're doing, and also that they give glory unto the Lord God. But look what he says also in verse number 5. He says, glory, fame, and glory throughout all countries. Folks, this must always be a church that spreads the gospel across the world. You know, I'm not saying it's enough. It's a place to begin, and I'm sure, like we've mentioned here, it'll be added to. There's no doubt. That's good. We're not done. We're not completed. But we have 33 missionaries back there we're supporting across. We're not saying that's enough. We're not saying we've done enough. We're saying to you, though, we are mission-minded. We believe in it. And we believe it's our responsibility to take the gospel across this world to all countries, that people will know that we love souls of men, you see. And then also, not only must the house be built, the church must be built, preparations must be made for it. Verse number 5, if you'll notice, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and glory throughout all countries, and I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. You know what I find as I read this story of David turning over the reign to his son? I find excitement in David's life, how he's handling all of this. He's excited about what God's going to do with Solomon in the building of the temple. Amen? You see, David understood something. David understood there was a timing to all of this. God's timing. It was to come to a time where God says, no, David, I want to use Solomon, your son, in the building of the temple. It's God's timing, you see. The changing of the guard was at hand. The baton was ready to be handed over. David was not sad about that, and he was not bitter about it. He was thankful for it and grateful for what God was going to do through his son Solomon. And you know what? The changing of the guard has come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And this preacher is excited about it. David was not bitter. He was rejoicing in what God was going to do. Now, in his instant, He was rejoicing because, listen, he had a future ahead of him. He was coming near to his death. He was going to get to meet his God. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? And I don't know what God's plan for me, but I want to know something. I mean, you know, if he don't want to take me right now, it's okay. But I want to tell you something. I'm excited about what he's got for me. I don't know all he's got for me, but I'm excited about it. I'm thankful for it. I'm grateful. I'm looking forward to the rest of my life. Amen. The time has come. And it's a good and proper thing, you see. When it's God's will, it's perfect. So I'm looking forward to the rest of my life, however long that is. Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. I'm excited, you see, about that. Listen, you got to think about this. You got to get in your mind some things. You remember Moses who led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness? You remember that? But there come a time when God said, Moses, you're not going to take them into the promised land. I'm going to let Joshua do that. Listen, folks, I really believe this. I believe I have taken this church to where God wanted me to take it. That's just what I believe. And I believe there's a new leader that God is raising up to take them on from here. When you look at the scripture, you look at Elijah and Elisha. Now, I know we're not Elijah and Elisha. I know. I'm just looking at the precept of God's word. You find Elijah came to a place when it was time for him to go home. And Elisha took over. And listen to me. Elisha performed double the amount of miracles that Elijah did. You know, I hear people say sometimes, son takes over, another one takes over, it won't be the same. Hey, come off of that. Come off of that. There may be greater things than's ever been done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church be done. Why can't we look forward to that instead of saying, you know, it's all over? It isn't all over. It's just going to continue and go on for the glory of God, you see. And then we got Paul and Timothy. There come a time in Paul's life when it was time for Paul to go on. And he handed the baton to Timothy. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? It's just God's timing. And it's all right. And you know what all of this is to do? It's to be added to. And I love it there because, you see, I believe something. I believe with all my heart there's so much more that needs to be done. Amen. And I believe there's so much more that's going to be done. Amen. So we look forward to that, you see. Well, as he said in verse 14, look at the end of verse 14, and thou mayest add thereto. Amen. Do you understand? You see, it wasn't something that was going to be finished. It wasn't even a new beginning. It's just continuation of what God wants to do, you see. So the house must be built and it must be prepared for. And I believe here we've made a lot of preparation. And when I say we, I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about the church since 1973 has made a lot of preparation for this day. We have lands to build on. We're just finishing and getting this other property under our name here. We signed some papers the other day, and the surveyor started Friday, I believe it was, and done us some survey, and he can't come back for a week. But anyway, he started, and we're getting these lands around us here all consolidated and getting ready for what God's going to do in the future. See, we've got land, we've got buildings here. But folks, that may not be enough. That'll be for your new pastor to decide those things. They may need to be new buildings down the road. I don't know. But it's exciting. We did do some preparation work. We got some things ready. We had buses. We've bought buses and had been given buses for the last 31 years. Almost 32 of those years. And we've bought buses after buses after buses. I mean, we've junked them. We've done everything and bought new and other ones and brought them in. And you know what? It won't be very long. He's going to have to do the same thing because there's some of the buses out there that need to be replaced. You see, that's what we've prepared. Yes, we've got, done some things and prepared. But there's got to be added too. It's not the end of it. It's got to be added to, you see. There's a lot of ministries that has been begun here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank God for those ministries. And they will be strengthened and possibly added to. I don't know what the future holds. All I know is it's not a stopping gap. It's not a stopping place. It's a continuation of what God wants to do. And that's what he was saying to Solomon. Solomon, I've prepared. I've done this and I've done that. But you know what? You got to add to it. I believe we've left the church in good financial condition. I think that God is blessed and we're in good financial condition. But folks, you can't stop giving. It's got to be added to. There's so many more things to do. I mean, you can't look at a bank account and say, oh boy, we got enough. No. You've got to go on and you got to add to it. And there's things to do and things to purchase and things to build. And it's just a continuation. We've got to add to these ministries, you see. And I believe with all of my heart. They must and will be added to. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. So must be built. The house of God must be built, and also preparations must be made. And then also a leader must be appointed. Look at verse number 6. He says, then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. Look at verse number 8. And let me read. But the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his day, and he shall build a house for my name. And he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. You know what this was? I want you to understand something. Solomon here replacing David was not just something David wanted to see. He was chosen of God. Solomon was appointed and chosen of God. I believe that's exactly what we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe God has appointed and chosen Jerry as the new pastor of this church. I believe it's God appointed. You voted on him and accepted him unanimously, but I believe God's the one that is appointing him. Amen. And that's a must. When you choose a new leader, it must be. And something, some of the things that that this new leader must have. Look at verse number 10. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. He must have a wonderful relationship with his God. He be son of God, and God the Father, his father. And he must have a relationship with the Lord, strong relationship with God. And I believe your new pastor does have that. Amen? Sure. Now here's what happens. People sit around and say, I don't know what. Have you got any reason to believe he doesn't? presence of God be with you. Amen? Sure. Look at verse number 11 when he says, "Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God." What does he say? "As he has said of thee." You know what a new pastor needs? He needs a vision and an unction from God. He needs to know what God and how God is leading and directing him, and he'll be directing the church that way. He needs a vision from the Lord that God gives leadership in the church that probably he won't give to you. He'll give it to your leader. Verse number 12. "Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding." Once again, where do we get wisdom and understanding to do this great job like Solomon was going to do and take over the kingship? Where do we get that? The only place we can get that is from God. We need wisdom from God. We need understanding from God. And he's the only one that can give it. Look at verse 12 also. And he says in verse 12, he says, "And give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God." What is he saying? You must go according to the law of God, Solomon. We would say to this church and its leadership, you must go by "thus saith the Lord." Not by my opinion, your opinion, or something you've come up with. No, "thus saith the Lord." And your new preacher is going to follow the Bible and guide this church as "thus saith the Lord." Not "what saith people," not "what saith what you think," but "thus saith the Lord."
Amen.
Amen. According to the word of God, you see. Even in verse number 13, if you'll notice there, he said, "Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses with." What is it? The judgments and the statutes of the Lord, the word of God. See, that must be the guide. That must be the principle, the precepts which guides this church. Amen. You know, I've seen it down through the years. I've seen members think this ought to do, we ought to do this, we ought to do that. And it had no scriptural basis for it whatsoever. None. You've got to follow the Bible, the word of God. You've got to build this work on the word of the Lord. "Thus saith the Lord." And then look at verse 15. He says, "Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there's no number. Rise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon. Listen, folks, the work of God is going to be built. It's going to have people that's willing to help. It's going to have to be, have people who's talented and gives their talents to the Lord for God's work. You can't place a pastor in a position of leadership and then walk away and say, "I don't want to do anything." God's intentions for you is for you to help him. To give of yourself the talents that God has given you, and to be willing, as he said there, David commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son. Help him. Don't be a detriment to him. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't sit back and wait and see if you think things are going to go the way you want them to go. No, get in, pitch in, and help. Help your new pastor. Amen. Be willing to do, you see, because that's a must. You can't do it on our own. It has to have help for it to get accomplished. And then notice here also in verse 19 what he says. "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Do you understand what he's saying? He said if you're going to help Solomon here, you're going to have to set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. You see, it's got to not come from just flesh. It's got to come from the heart. I'm going to help because of my heart's there. That's what I want to do. I want to seek the Lord. Amen? Are you hearing, people? Quit sitting. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, quit it and get busy. Do right. Sunday school teachers, get excited about your classes. Instead of sitting back and just letting it come as it will, get excited, get out there, invite them, pray for them, get on your knees and pray for your Sunday school classes. Amen. Help to build the work of God. And that's not just for Sunday school classes. That's for bus workers. That's for deacons. That's for everybody that holds a position in this church. Seek the Lord and let it come from the heart. See, if you want to serve the Lord, you need to do so willingly. And listen to me, Hebrews, and I'm not going to go back there, but Hebrews 13, you need to willingly serve the Lord and submit yourself to the leader that God has appointed you. You need to submit yourself to it and to the leadership that He's going to give you. I'll be done here in just a few moments, but I want to close with this. God worked upon me. I was not going to put this in the sermon. He said, "You're not done." And I want you to listen to me because He's told me to tell you, and I want you to listen to me. Okay? I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. It's a simple principle. I've preached it for years. It's probably been a while since I've preached it, but it's a simple principle. I want you to listen very closely. I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" There's a principle. I want you to listen to it very carefully as a church. Envyings, strife, and division comes from carnality. That's what God said in His Word. Whenever there is divisions and strife and envying, it's because those who are causing it are carnal, worldly, sometimes Christians, sometimes lost. But it's from carnality. Let me say this to you. God is never the author of confusion. God is never the author of divisions in His church or strife or envying in His church. Listen to me. He is not the author. God never would send somebody into a local church to cause division or strife or envying because it's His work. He would not send you. You say, "Well, I got to keep things straight." He didn't send you. He's not the author of divisions and strife and envying. Whenever that happens, we know who the author is. And it's not God, it's Satan. So you mark it down as a church. You listen to me as a church. You always, down through the years, you're going to see people that's going to be there causing division and strife. Mark them down. You know what they're doing? They're waving the red flag. They're saying, "I'm carnal, I'm carnal, I'm carnal." So mark them. Put a mark on them. Because it's not of God. Churches all over this country is being torn about with division, strife, and envy. And many times people get behind those kind of people that cause that kind of thing. And division in the church comes. That's absolutely unscriptural. And God never, ever, ever was the author of sending someone like that into the church. The devil was. It's a principle you need to get a hold of and never forget. I don't care who that person is. I don't care what kind of position they've got. They never, ever, ever, God never sends division and strife and envy into the church. It comes from somewhere else. Hear me? Now, let's go back just for a moment to 1 Chronicles, 22nd chapter. Verse 13. "Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. And then he says something. He says, be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. I want to say to you as a church, and especially to your new pastor, the word of God says be strong. You know why? Because you're going to have to. He says be of good courage. You know why he put that? Because you're going to need it. He says dread not, nor be dismayed. Let me share with you, and Pastor Jerry's been around long enough to know, you can't believe some of the things that happens. But he says, don't be dismayed. Have good courage. Be strong. And as a church, you can help him be strong. You can be strong. Standing in the faith, loving God, walking with God, doing the work of God. So in verse 16, I want to finish with this. Of the gold and silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. I want to just comment. I realize that David was talking about here to Solomon that anything he needed is there. And I want to make the same statement to the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and its new pastor. Whatever your need is, God has it. There's nothing impossible. Not a thing. To men, it may look impossible, but it's not with God. So I close with this statement in verse 16. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. And I pray, Father, that this challenge that has been given, this charge that has been given, been taken with the spirit in which it was intended. And I pray that the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church will absolutely renew their dedication to their Lord and to the work that you've established here. And Father, I pray especially, certainly for Pastor Jerry and his dear wife, Cheryl, that you will take them and use them to the glory of God. We believe you will. But Lord, they do need your power, your strength. They need your help. And we just pray that the blessings of God be upon them. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.